Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning, witches. It is March 28th, 2024. It is Thursday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by me, Readings by Tanya. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Power is the faculty of capacity to act, the strength and potency to accomplish something. And it is the vital energy to make choices and decisions. It also includes the capacity to overcome deeply embedded habits and to cultivate higher and more effective ones," by Stephen Covey. So moving into some headlines, this comes to us from foxnews.com. Okay, so normally if I were to see a headline like this, I would think, oh, this is happening in some other area of the world, and it's not really my place to speak on it because I culturally just don't understand and to commentate on it as someone who is a U.S. citizen. Typically, I try to stay away from headlines. So when I saw this, I was like, oh, it's just one of those headlines from somewhere else. And then I saw Kentucky, and I'm like, oh, well, let's dig in. So this headline reads, "Kentucky pediatrician sought spiritual healers for death spell, voodoo to kill ex-husband, says court documents." Oh, okay. Audrey Coughlin is, oh wait, no, that's the reporter. Oh, give me one second. Here we go. "Kentucky pediatrician accused of plotting her ex-husband's murder sought spiritualists to put a death spell on him, according to court documents. Dr. Stephanie Russell allegedly confided in nurses at her office, Kids Life Pediatrics in Louisville, that she wanted her ex-husband dead and asked them to help her hire a hitman to get the job done. But one of the nurses alerted the FBI to her scheming." As you should. Continuing on from TheExpress.com, "The healer informed Russell her death success rate was 85%, adding 100% guaranteed or money back. In another message, Russell wrote, I had a meeting with a Brazilian woman. She said I would find someone who would believe me and help me. Persecutors have claimed that Russell became convinced her ex-husband had been abusing their children, and he was granted full custody following their divorce. Louisville police, however, dropped the investigation after they found her allegations to be unsubstantiated. Russell's ex filed for divorce in 2018, and the proceedings were finalized in 2020. The pediatrician then allegedly asked for help from fellow staff at Kids Life Pediatrics in Louisville, which again got them in touch with an FBI agent. Court filings added, consistent with all this, a chief part of Ms. Russell's conversations with the other undercover agent, pretend hitman, was her certainty that her ex-husband was hurting her children. Russell's legal team has argued the pediatrician was not in a sound state of mind when she contacted the undercover FBI agent to allegedly commission the murder of her ex-husband. She purportedly offered the pretend hitman $7,000 to make the death look like a suicide. According to a transcript, the conversation between Dr. Russell and the FBI agent, she said, so I'm a really nice person. I tell the truth. This is not something that I do. I mean, I have made peace with this a long time ago. I mean, I literally have prayed every day to God, the spirits, and everything. Like, I could do some voodoo. Where's the pin? Where's the doll? Can I push a tree over on him? The defense has been asking the jury to take under consideration the testimony of forensic psychiatrist Dr. Walter Butler, who has claimed the Kentucky pediatrician deteriorated to the point of delusion, psychosis, under increasing intensities of stress related to the contentious custody battle. Wow. Staff at the Pediatric Forensic Medicine Agency argued that Dr. Russell showcased symptoms of Munchausen syndrome by proxy, Oh, wow. An illness in which she fabricated symptoms within a child. That's oof. Oof, oof, oof. There's a lot going on here. Wow. Oh, I'm gonna throw let's all take a breather. I'm gonna throw this over to the Moon correspondent. We're all gonna take a breath, and we will talk after this break.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Thursday, March 28th. The waning gibbous moon continues to investigate in Scorpio today. Here, the moon trines Saturn and opposes Jupiter and Uranus. Things are not going to go as planned today, but in all of the best ways. We may still get fairly put out, though, with the constant interruptions. The trine to Saturn is putting us to work and asking us to formulate a plan. But every time we get going, something new and wholly unexpected pops up and demands our attention. With Jupiter and Uranus conjunct, these interruptions will usually lead to better things. So, we have to leave room for these distractions and the places they will take us. Try not to take your plan too seriously today and give yourself permission to follow that white rabbit. Your daily moon mantra is, "Blessed are the flexible, for they will not be bent out of shape." This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Attention, witches! This is Nina Moreau broadcasting a special alert from the Grimoire Society. We ask that witches please remember to subscribe to the new monthly newsletter. While we love psychically sending you every spell, recipe, penny dreadful, and conjure advice that we have, spirit representatives have asked that we cease clogging up the ether. We have contracted a special team of messenger pigeons to deliver your monthly newsletter directly to your doorstep. For only $5, you can sign up for this elusive serial at www.thegrimoiresociety.com. Remember, this notice is for witches only. If you are not a witch and have somehow come across this broadcast, you will forget all that you've heard in 3, 2.
So we are talking about magical TikTok today. And I'm going to share a little bit of something I've noticed in magical TikTok, and then we're going to go over to an article that was published in the March 2024 issue of Which Way Magazine by a prominent TikToker, Hannah Wallace. I think her handle is also Spirituality. Something I've noticed with TikTok, which can be extremely frustrating, is I'll see videos that have gone viral, and like, I love the passion, but they're just like, they'll state stuff as fact that isn't true. It feels like, and not just like, that's not how my spiritually works. I mean, like facts, like definitions from the dictionary, kind of like, this is just not what that is. And the thing that makes me nervous about TikTok is that it feels like the fakest something is, or the most watered down something is, the likelihood it will go viral. And it's frustrating because it feels like the truer something is, the less viral it goes. And that is immensely frustrating, especially when you're seeing stuff go viral with people who clearly don't really know what they're talking about, or with information that's just blatantly incorrect. I saw one that was like, oh, folk magic is like brown and black magic, which isn't true. Folk magic encompasses the entire world in multiple cultures. There is magic. There is folk magic that is prominent with black people. There is Appalachian folk magic, which is prominent with white people. Like, it's not, folk magic isn't. Folk magic is not just hoodoo or brujeria. Folk magic is magic of the people across the entire world. So again, it's stuff like that that will go absolutely viral, and it's just like inaccurate and incorrect, and it really frustrates the hell out of me. Because I really, really care about our communities, or like being authentic, I guess. We have so many great voices that put the hard work into actually understanding things and learning things and researching things. And it means nothing on TikTok. Like, if it literally the most TikTok appeals to the greatest amount of people. And that's usually not the most substantial information, I guess, is my argument. But we have an article from the March 2024 issue of Which Way that reads, TikTok is a mobile app that has taken the world by storm. It is a video-making app where anyone with access to it can make short videos on their favorite subject and post it publicly for the world to see. There are creators who have dedicated their TikTok channels to books, science, comedy, sketches, you name it, and it's on TikTok. This obviously means that there is an area of TikTok that is dedicated to those who want to spread knowledge on witchcraft, spirituality, and the occult, and so on. These videos as a whole have been clumped together in what viewers refer to as witch talk. The witch talk hashtag has over 30 billion views, and it has hit the TikTok trending page on more than one occasion. This makes sense with the increasing interest in witchcraft over the last several years. Social media and the internet in general have allowed people to have access to knowledge unlike anything generations prior had ever seen fathomed. So the idea that you can log on and onto an app and get a detailed spell tutorial sounds wonderful, right? Well, not everyone sees it that way. A few months ago, I was vending at a pagan and witchcraft festival in my city, and an older woman who had been practicing for decades came up to my booth and we struck up a conversation about my products, the craft, and eventually me being a witch talker. This woman then told me that while she admired me and my craft as an individual, she thought witch talk was the absolute worst thing to ever happen to witchcraft. Quite a harsh thing to say as someone who was a witch talker, yet I agree with her. Why, though? If I have literally been able to amass a career out of being a witch talker, why on earth would I agree with this woman making such a bold and arguably generalized statement about it? Why is TikTok specifically being targeted as a bad place for witches as opposed to dozens of other platforms? Well, there are several pros and cons to witch talk. Pros, the most incredible thing that the internet has been able to provide is connection. And me, Tanya, completely agrees with this. Living in the U.S., I've had conversations with people in Japan, Macedonia, Australia, many other countries so far from me. For someone who is maybe starting out in their craft, the idea that they could fairly easily find someone who has been practicing the craft for decades, perhaps even in another country, and ask them questions is remarkable. Not only that, but the majority of experienced witches on TikTok are willing and excited to answer questions. There is a lot of joy about the idea of the craft becoming more and more popular, and those who are experienced show a genuine want to help novices. And I agree with this. I genuinely agree. Experienced people want to help new people get good information. Problem is that, in my opinion, most of who you're being presented with are as experts don't actually know a lot. And they kind of pull things out of their butt and state it as fact. And then it goes viral and it is very upsetting to me personally. Again, when there are so many wonderful voices out there who have spent years and decades putting the work in, it can be really frustrating when someone who is clearly uneducated and experienced can position themselves as experts, I think is my problem. Hannah continues, this idea of human connection through the internet also allows practitioners to view practices from around the world. Yeah, I do love this. A sect of TikTok, simply known as spirituality TikTok, encompasses every walk of spirituality. Buddhists, Hindu, pagan, witches, shaman, indigenous, Jewish people, all discussing their religious practices. This allows beginners to develop an understanding of what practices may be sacred or even closed to various cultures and religious groups. However, it also provides knowledge into what the novice, allowing the novice to gravitate towards an area of spirituality that pulls at them the most. I completely agree with this. And I personally love that too. I try not to even go on to witch talk because I find it frustrating, but I really love learning about other religions through TikTok. Most spiritual practitioners will put an emphasis on learning outside the internet through experiences, simply typing in beginner witchcraft books into the search bar of TikTok. This journey of learning requires a lot of effort, though, and while the majority of witch talkers will tell you they are well aware of this and will discuss it on their videos, Witch has proven that not everyone is willing to take on their journey, and they're hoping to build their craft off TikTok and Google searches alone. This, as those of us who have been on the internet for any amount of time know, is a great way to a world of misinformation. That's my big problem. Just like everywhere else on the internet, people on Witch Talk, oh, this is the cons. Just like anywhere else on the internet, people on Witch Talk can say anything they want, as long as it abides by TikTok's community guidelines and mark it as true. As you can imagine, this opens the floodgates to a tidal wave of misinformation. Now, no one is perfect and everyone makes mistakes. I've seen dozens of Witch Talkers say something they believe to be true, then they have to correct themselves later. However, making human errors is far different than some other problematic novices, or what people may find themselves watching and believe in. Yeah. So here's the thing, too, about TikTok is why Tanya, thinks this is different than other platforms is like things like Facebook or TikTok or like Instagram, for example. You have a better shot of real information and false information having an equal chance at being seen. Whereas it feels like TikTok favors misinformation, which I hate to say. I've also noticed TikTok favors rage baiting. And this is something I noticed really, really recently where this TikToker I've been following for a long time, I had trust in this person for some reason. And they made a very big statement, right? And I commented on it and I was like, I don't support this author or this thing. I was like, but I am happy people have found some joy in it, you know, which is, I think, a very neutral comment. I'm not saying I support this problematic person, but I am saying that, like, I'm glad people can find joy these days because it's hard. And I literally watched in real time as this TikToker deleted my comments that said I didn't support this problematic person and only left the comment saying, I'm glad people find joy in their work. So it was wild. I'm like, I'm literally watching this person create hate, like, on the internet. It was really shocking to me because I had never seen that before. And I think that's when I learned and I realized on TikTok, you can make a lot of money from something going viral. So it gets real tempting to create videos that you know will get a lot of attention, but may not be the healthiest thing to create or the most accurate thing to create. And that is kind of my problem with TikTok, is TikTok incentivizes videos that are going to upset people. It incentivizes extremism. And it incentivizes misinformation as long as it caters to as many people as possible. And here's, like, I love TikTok, but I'm starting to become more and more careful about what I consume on TikTok. So I try hard. If I am watching something, I'm like, oh, I think this is just made to upset people. Whether I agree with them or not, I'll block the person. That's why I think we're losing the ability to think. It's so before your prefrontal lobe cortex develops, we tend to think in black and white thinking. This is right and this is wrong. There is no in between. And I remember thinking that way in my 20s. And one thing I pride myself in is I remember how I used to think. I remember how my brain worked when I was 5. I remember how my brain worked when I was 20. And my ability to remember that, I think, gives me a lot of empathy for people in those age groups. But it also reminds me of how, I don't want to say, it reminds me of how stunted we can think in those age groups. And it feels like TikTok is an entire flat platform built on how thinking works before your prefrontal lobe is developed. It's a lot of extremism and a lot of black and white thinking and a lot of this is how the world works and it's real easy and you just have to do this and that and then bam, things are perfect. And it's like, well, that's just not reality. And I am starting to see it shift, but my problem with TikTok, as much as I love it and I'm on it every day, my problem with TikTok is it incentivizes misinformation and it incentivizes rage baiting videos. So let's continue. I've heard so-called spiritualist gurus say cultural appropriation does not exist. I've seen people say that conditions like autism and ADHD are not real disorders, but mere spiritual blockages that need to be overcome. This is, remember how a few months ago we talked about learning the difference between occultism and New Age? Right? If we can learn the difference, we can spot that that is New Age, not witchcraft, or really even spiritualism. I've even seen people advise those who are injured not to seek medical attention. And the reasons why they are experiencing these ailments is negative energy or evil. Now, that is indicative of scams. We did an episode, I'll probably re-share it. We did a very big episode on how to pinpoint spiritual scammers. I'm going to do a rewind day on that because I feel like that's really important in this day and age. If someone tells you that you're struggling because you have evil around you or like negative energy sources around you, but for $200 they can clear it, scam. And that's what this sounds like. Not to mention certain influencers undergoing severe medical episodes bordering on psychosis, but claiming that what they're experiencing is spiritual awakening. And while the majority of their following may be advising them to seek medical attention, and followers genuinely believe these creators' claims of having been awakened. So another good example of this is the Love Has One Mother God documentary. That's a great example of this. They use the internet and going viral as a way to gain members and gain money from people. When in reality, this woman was dying from alcohol poisoning of her liver, but they thought she was ascending. All of this is extremely dangerous, especially when the people saying these outrageous things have a relatively large following of people who rely on them and look up to them as spiritual role models. They then try to combat practitioners who are people of color or those who are neurodivergent or who come forward to call themselves out on their nonsense. There is an ongoing battle on witch talk between people trying to spread misinformation and those trying to stop and correct misinformation. And the two sides continuously argue for what feels like forever. I promise you, people spreading misinformation get many more likes, followers, comments, and attention than those trying to combat misinformation. There's also a collective of experienced witches on TikTok who are outright mean and cruel for beginners, patronizing them for making mistakes in their craft, not willing to answer their questions, and even making fun of them simply for being beginners. While I would argue that experienced witches do not inherently owe anyone education, there are ways to go about it while being kind to beginners. Making a video for your thousands of followers, publicly shaming someone for not doing something you would do in your craft is not the answer. Bullying is never the answer. And I'm actually going to argue that these are not experienced witches. Because the more competent you are in your magic, the less urge you feel to tell people that they're doing it wrong. When you're confident in yourself, in your craft, in your magic, you don't feel defensive when someone else is doing it differently, right? So I would argue these are probably not experienced witches, but people who are trying to look as if they are experienced. TikTok operates on an algorithm different from many other social media platforms. This algorithm picks up the kinds of topics and creators you like to watch most often and begins to show you these kinds of videos more often because they want to keep you watching. Therefore, if you watch even one creator who is a bully or a proponent for misinformation, it's likely that the TikTok algorithm will begin to show you these kinds of creators more and more and more often. Before you know it, all the videos that TikTok shows you will be like this, and a beginner may start to think that bullying cultural appropriation is what witchcraft is. Yeah. I have so many stories of like examples of this, but we're already getting long. So how does one navigate the terrain of TikTok witchcraft in order to see the benefits of gaining knowledge and connecting with other practitioners while avoiding the toxicity of gatekeeping, cultural appropriation, ableism, and gossip? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, don't find someone from their TikTok. Find someone you trust as a outside of TikTok source, right? Maybe you read their book, then find their TikTok. Maybe you listen to their podcast and you think that they know what they're talking about, then find their TikTok. Don't let TikTok tell you which witches to listen to. I would argue don't search for witches on TikTok to find people. Find people outside of TikTok and then see if they have a TikTok if you want to kind of curate a better page for yourself. Oh, yeah. Okay, we're running long, so I have to wrap this up. But this was an absolutely great article. I'm so grateful for Hannah sharing this. And it's a big thing to share. I mean, as a TikToker who makes her career off TikTok, to criticize it is huge. And I think I really appreciate that because, again, I'm starting to notice problems. You know, and then I'll make a video. I'll be like, hey, so this isn't correct. And here's actually the truth of how this works. And it gets like 96 views, like 2 likes. It's really hard to share accurate information on TikTok. It's just not the place, which breaks my heart because I love the app. I think it's fun. I listen to a lot of comedy. I follow a lot of creators I really like. I've met some wonderful creators like Lizzie, who I love and is absolutely wonderful. And she's a great TikToker, so I would follow her. I think her handle is Lizzie and the Bats. I love her. And then Hannah, who wrote this article, is at SpiritualityT. So Spirituality and then T as in the drink. And you can find her there. But like, so for example, Lizzie does Kitchen Witch videos, which is really simple. She's sharing fun little recipes. Like, she's not, you know, trying to teach someone an entire religion or spirituality. She's just like, here's some recipes. And I think it's really sweet and cozy. So they're out there, but like I would say, don't try to find them through TikTok. Try to find people who you trust outside of TikTok and follow them and people they recommend. And I think that's going to get you a really sweet, wholesome, accurate curation of witchy TikTokers to follow. Oh, I know. It's hard living in 2024 because I love TikTok and I think it's such a wonderful way for people to share information. But we really need to get a handle on the capitalism aspect. All of this stems from capitalism. All of this stems from the fact that TikTok incentivizes misinformation videos and rage videos. And it's really frustrating. You know, even if someone's agreeing with you, even if you're agreeing with the person and you believe they're on the right side, the more extreme and divisive they are, the more money they make from that video. You know what I mean? And the less nuanced and thoughtful they are. You know what I mean? So you just have to be thoughtful and think about it. All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Monica Moon. Monica, you poetic, scholarly, selkie. Catherine Oster, you badass, powerful leprechaun. Derpacabria, you glorious, luminous spider queen. And Julie M., you powerful, magical oracle. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And before we leave, we have a card pull. Our card today is 6 of Diamonds from Jane Austen Tarot Deck, and this is about sharing. Generosity goes both ways. Some give and take promotes harmony in any good relationship. Oh, so it's just about like relationships, sharing, compromise. Nice. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, sex, headline sources. Anything we reference today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.